get me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I'm about to live in. Again and again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in.
Hey, we're gonna turn this together.
I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind the cross before, and I don't turn. I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind the cross before, and I have decided to follow Jesus.
I'm gonna leave the world behind. What you say?
The cross before, and I won't turn.
Me. I love my church.
I love my church.
Woo! All right, guys. Everybody stand up. Let's worship the Lord. You can see Jack isn't here, but he's watching, so sing loud.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. everything inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I'll raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I'll raise a hallelujah. Praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemy.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing,
I see evidence of your goodness all over my life, is all over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment is all over my life, is all over my life.
Tell me, remember when I am weak. Fear may come, fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and then you always will be.
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life, I see your promises in fulfillment. It's all over my life. It's all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away. Because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. So my sin rolled away. Because of you, oh Jesus. Oh,
goodness is all over my life, is all over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment is all over my life, is all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness is all over my life, is all over my life. Promises and fulfillment is all over my life, is all over my life. So why should I fear all the evidence is here? So why should I fear? Oh, the evidence is here.
Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that your evidence is all over our lives and all over the lives of our church and the folks that are with us. Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit into this time. We just ask that you be with us through this service, that you just every word spoken, every song sung, Lord, that you would be speaking to us. Lord, we pray for Jack as he's away from us, and we just pray for his healing. We just thank you for him as our pastor. We love our church. So, Lord, we just give you praise and honor and glory, and we just give this whole service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids can leave for children's worship.
There we are. Okay. All right. Good morning, Haven Community Church. Good morning, Church Online. Can I get everybody just to indulge with me just a second? Quick, stand up, look back at the camera, and say, good morning, Jack. Get better soon. Just stand up, yell about it. All right. Okay. All right. So some of you have heard Jack's recovering from a surgery this past week. Went very well. He is in a neck brace, so he's watching his favorite sport, tennis. So no sudden movements, all right? So this morning, I just want to talk real quick before we turn the mic over to Keith today. Just want to tell a story about Jesus healing the paralytic. Luke 5, 17 to 20. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out from every town, Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. When they could not find how they might get in to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down on his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you." And then same thing in Mark 1 through 5. It says, again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let him down on the bed which the paralytic was lying. And again, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So we read those verses and we constantly think of the two characters, Jesus and the paralytic. The NIV version I'm reading, it's the title of that little section says, Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. But whose faith actually healed that man? His friends. It was his friends who brought him to that house. And that's the last week's sermon. Jack talked about servants. And what does servants do? What do servants do? They love. Servants know who they are. Servants meet needs. That paralytic certainly had a need. And they're imperfect people. And they're humble. They're so humble, you never hear about them again. Actually, in the scripture there, it says, when he saw their faith. Had nothing to do with the faith of the paralytic. So Jack's sermon last week finished up with Matthew 23, 11 to 12. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So who are you carrying to be healed at the feet of Jesus? Do you have enough faith for that other person? And who in your life is carrying you when your spirit tank is running just a little bit low? Just say that to remind everybody to stay connected to God, not just for your own salvation, but so you can be ready when called to carry that person in your life that needs just a little bit more than what they can give themselves. And then be ready when you need that extra burden lifted off as well. So, all right, so announcements and prayers. Miriam's table envelopes are still in the lobby. We have till April 12th for those, I believe. So there's still a few up there. This week, men's group is finishing up their study. This Thursday, we will be off the Thursday of Holy Week. And Operation Christmas Child has one more week for this current collection. And Card Ministry is meeting today after service. All right, prayers. We have healing prayers, again, of course, for Jack, Sarah Mullins and Rig, Emily Hewitt, obviously, and Wes as well. Gary Ann's father had a stroke. Gina's, Brenda Wallace, Jessica Hewitt, Tina, and Karen's sister, okay. Joe Cox, Martina, Bernie, Ruth, Carol Henson's mom, Maddie Truitt's friend got hit by a car, and Gretchen Zahn's mom as well. And looking for traveling mercies for Bob and Hope. They're coming back from South Carolina visiting their grandson. I think they'll be back sometime today, I believe. Kathy Sullivan asked prayers for her friend Stella. They had a house fire yesterday. One kitty is missing, and three are in Windcrest Animal Shelter. Joanne Edwards asked for safe pregnancy for her niece, Emma. Diana Ritchie asked for prayers for Will Hinton, her father. He meets with the cancer doctors on Friday and praying for the best possible outcome. And our daughter, Jessica Ritchie, is looking for prayers for her. She goes into surgery on Monday. Robin asked for prayers for her sister, Jean, having surgery on Wednesday, the 25th. And again, for Sarah and Rig. And want to lift up the family of Dave Palmer. The Palmer family has been around in this community a long time. Dave passed away unexpectedly this week. His wife and children, we need to lift them up in prayer. I think services are this coming Wednesday. Don and Misty asked for prayers for Nick. And that would be it. So, church family, we have a lot of need, a lot of healing needs to be done. I started reading that thing, first part of that scripture, when they says they couldn't get to him in the room. The room is a powerful thing. This room right here, the Lord will meet you here if you just accept him. So we can get everybody to pray for those who need healing. And if you have healing or requests that you haven't made known, Lord knows them. Just pray for them here now. Lord, we ask that you watch over this congregation, watch over those who are on our list that need healing. And Lord, not everyone has put their name down here or asked for another for prayer, but we hope and pray that we all have the faith to carry those that need it, to bring them to you in their time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church. I love my church. My church don't fit in a building, and it ain't about a steeple or hymns. My church don't look like religion, but it is what it's always been. And I love God, and I love people. It's more than a midweek group, 'cause we're on a mission together to share with the world his truth. And I love God, and I love people.
I love my
church. It ain't no building, ain't no program, ain't no label. My church is a family of
So, obviously, like everybody's mentioned, I am not Jack. You know, I realize that there's probably a couple answered prayers this morning. One, Jack and healing. And two, me speaking, which means I don't talk for like 40 minutes. But it is a blessing to have the opportunity to stand up here and share this message. Okay. Jack and I were talking last week after praise team practice, and you know, one of the things that this kind of came up quick on him, so he's kind of going back and forth, and I agreed to say, okay, well, you know, send me your notes and I'll see if I can do something with it, or maybe it'll come up. And then he sent me his notes and I went, what in the ADHD? So I don't know if you guys remember the last time I spoke, we had that chart that he put up. It was, oh yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I really don't know what I'm looking at here. But we are in, what's this, week 6 of the series, I Love My Church. And I tell you, it's been awesome, even when I said yes to this, how many people found out about it real quick and said, hey, it's going to be awesome, can't wait to hear it. I'll apologize now. Get into it a little bit here. I thank Scott because I think he gave half my message already this morning. So it's going to be even quicker. So we're going to start out with the verse for today is Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So, when we think of church, we start asking people outside the church kind of what they think about it. You know, we look at it as loving people, kind people, generous people. The rest of the world doesn't see it that way. Some of the world sees us as judgmental, narrow-minded, sometimes angry. And that should bother us a little bit. It certainly bothers God. Because if you don't experience the love of God, you're not going to experience God at all. So we're going to jump right into one of the first things. A church that pleases God is made up of people who love like Jesus. Okay? In John 13, verses 34, 35, Jesus said it clear. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. According to Jesus, that love wasn't optional. Just like the song we sang earlier. That love is the evidence of Christ. As we dig into the Gospels a little bit more, one thing becomes clear. Jesus was drawn to the people that the religious leaders hated. Right? They avoided them. But Jesus loved the broken. He cared for the hurting. He forgave the sinful, and he included the outcast. God is pleased with a church that looks like his son. Now think about this for a second. Like, how proud are we as parents when, you know, you see one of your kids, like, maybe one of their teammates has a bad play, messes it up, misses a point, and we see our kid kind of comfort him, say, okay, don't worry about it, forget about it, maybe next time. Right, showing that love and support. Or maybe we hear about them, you know, sitting with the new kid or maybe the weird kid. You know, I certainly appreciate that. I felt like I was the weird kid in school sometimes. Still the weird kid. Because Jesus didn't just say he loved people, he showed it. It's interesting talking with Jack about this series. He was really excited about teaching this one, right? The title of Raising the Roof and stuff. He was telling me, like, just that message in Mark 2 it touches so many aspects, but it's clear evidence of loving like Christ. Some of you guys have heard my story before. You know that I'm standing here today because God changed my life, right? Through his love and through the church. And it's not just by what people believed, but the love they had showed. A little bit with me was, you know, I didn't grow up in church and stuff. So I actually was cruising through life, and I saw this really, really good-looking girl. And I said, huh, how do I get that in my life? And even though I didn't know God, she knew God. And apparently God heard me, because the first reaction to that was, okay, well, we can hang out. But if you do anything or try anything, you're going to get punched and you're never going to see me again. And two was, you want to date me? You got to go to church. And me being the outstanding young man that I was, I said, sure, what is it? It's church, right? But I can tell you that decision was probably one of the best decisions I made. But I think we can get into more of that story on another day. So, Mark 2. Right, Scott alluded to it a little bit earlier. This is where Jesus is coming back to Capernaum. Right, he's come home for a little while, but just like in a small town, just how quickly you guys found out that I was speaking today, they found out that Jesus was coming back, and everybody wanted a part of it. Right, so the house became crowded very, very quickly. Right, even out into the streets and everything. So let's picture that just a little bit. It's so crowded. This is old school Black Friday sale at midnight, right? Where people are ready to fist fight over a Tickle Me Elmo doll. You know, that's how crowded this is. And then you have four friends that show up, bring in the example of the love of Christ. So let's look at Mark 2, 1 through 5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And Jesus preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So this isn't just the story of the miracle of the healing. This is a story about love in action, right? Because a loving church carries burdens. So again, Jesus at home, house packed, no space anywhere. Everybody wants something from Jesus, right? In verse 3, some men came bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man carried by four of them. So in your imagination, right? Let's look at this again. One of them paralyzed, can't walk. Let's call him Carl, right? One of the other guys, Bubba, he goes, "Have you heard about this guy, Jesus? Heals the sick, right? We got to get Carl to Jesus." But what they didn't say, been praying for you, send you some text, little praying hands. Hope you find some help. Now, they picked him up and they carried him. See, that love didn't watch from the sidelines. It picked this man up and it carried him to the one place that they knew that he could find healing. In Galatians 6:2, Paul tells us, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, love doesn't just point people to Jesus, it carries them to him. This matters just as much today. People aren't asking, do you have the perfect theology? What version of the Bible do you read? They're asking, do you really care? I know Jack's quoted it, I've heard it a few times. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Love proves you care. When you pick up the burden and carry it for somebody else, take that weight for just a moment. I'm thankful for this church, right, that has definitely done that. I've definitely witnessed that through here. We just heard it this morning, Operation Christmas Child. Right? How awesome is that? Stockings for vets, giving veterans just a little bit for Christmas. Right? I've been a part of two groups that I know of in the past that have gotten groups of men together and gone to somebody's house and built wheelchair ramps when somebody's needed it. The Pilkington Fund, you know, helping people around the community pay bills and other needs that they may have. Going to the hospital, visiting people, going to court hearings, and just sitting. I've also seen individuals in this church buy a whole Christmas for a family that didn't have it. All that different stuff, even from little the I'm thinking of you text and phone calls. It's amazing. You can show how much you care in so many different ways. If someone is hurting, you pray for them. You listen to them. Someone's having a baby, throw a baby shower. Someone is sick, you bring them a meal. Every one of us has the potential to love like Jesus. Sometimes it looks big, sometimes it looks small, but it's always personal. So you don't need a title or a platform. You don't need to fix the problem. You just need to be willing to pick up the weight. Because when a church carries the burdens, people experience God's love. And when people experience the love of God, their lives are changed. The church that pleases God is made up of people who love like Jesus, carries the burdens. You know what else it does? Love breaks the rules. Breaks the rules to serve and save people. Mark 2, verse 4 tells us, since the four friends could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat of the man lying on it. That's crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. You got a packed room, right? And these guys can't get to them, so they start digging through a roof, right? It sounds creative. Back then, it was unthinkable, right? These first century homes are not like ours. It's not a little bit of shingles and plywood, you know? It's hard, flat roofs, wooden beams covered in branches, clay, packed dirt, sometimes a foot or two thick, right? And it wasn't just a roof. This is somebody's house. Right? Their protection, their livelihood. If you really think about it, look at some of that stuff. Do you think these guys that just heard Jesus was coming, right? They think they knew? Do you think they packed shovels and tools and stuff? No. All they did was pick up their friend and carry him. So they get to the point where they got to look at one of these roofs and they find whatever they can to start breaking through that roof and start digging. So you didn't just mess with somebody's roof, right? There were social rules too. You know, Jesus was teaching. Like you didn't interrupt a gathering. You certainly didn't interrupt a rabbi. But see, that love, those four friends, they knew this man needed Jesus. So they had a choice to make. Follow the rules or rescue their friend. See, love breaks the rules. It rips up a roof to save people. Right? So imagine that. Imagine digging through that. Doing whatever you can to get somebody that you're carrying those burdens for to Jesus. And Jesus didn't stop them. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't look at them and go, who's paying for that? Right? Why? Because Jesus broke rules too. Right? He ate with sinners. The Pharisees hated that. He forgave prostitutes. Scandalous. He touched the lepers, and he loved the tax collectors. And as Scott said earlier, Jesus saw something, not the roof caving in. He didn't focus on manners, theology, anything else. What was it that he saw? He saw their faith, right? Jesus saw the faith of the four men doing anything they could to get their friend to Jesus. Saw their faith in action, expressed through love. If rules kept people from Jesus, love needs to find another way. You know, I've been a part of that love too, especially from this church. You know, there's been spots in my life too I've talked about earlier where you struggle with stuff you're trying to live through life. I can remember a time when I got this really cool pickup truck. I thought it was cool at the time. Shortly after I got it, I'm driving to work, and where I work, I got to drive through this little itty bitty gate and show an ID card. And the guard said, yeah, you're good. And I went, all right, thanks. Oh, it's not moving. All right. That nice big brand new truck, the transmission was gone. All right. I didn't have the money to fix it. I had to do it myself. All right. So now I'm down a vehicle. I got to put this in my dad's garage, who it doesn't fit, and I got to try to climb under this thing. And I watched a friend look at me and say, that's cool, sorry about your luck, but listen, I'm driving a work truck for a while, so here's the keys to my new truck. Go ahead and take it for a little while till you get yours fixed. All right, that's awesome. All right, that's showing up. I've also been on the other side of that, where I've gotten a phone call from a friend. And you can hear the change in their voice. Whatever was going on at that time in their lives, they needed something. I kind of recognized it, but still wasn't for certain. So I told them, stay right where you are. I'm coming. I got off the phone with them and I called Jack and we showed up. We talked to him for a couple hours. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome when you show up. And now to see that person at church every Sunday serving and living one of the best lives that they can live. See, sometimes we'll do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ, to try to reach people that nobody else is reaching. And if we get that right here at Haven, you'll see it. A church that pleases God, a church that rips off the roofs, and a church that loves like Jesus. So I told you a little bit about that girl that I saw that brought me to church, right? Thankfully, it worked. We've been married 21 years, coming up on 22. It's hard to believe. I'm not that old. But I've not always been the best version of myself that I can be. I've heard it said before that for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. Right? So we try to keep it in the lane. We wander. I'm very, very good at doing this and towing that line on that ditch. Right? Why? I don't know. I can't explain it. But I know every once in a while, I go in it. Right? And I can't seem to find my way out of it. And every time I do, her love and her faith shows up. And it helps to carry until I get back on the path. Recently, I've talked about other struggles that I've had. My mental health stuff, and you know, there for a while I was on leadership team and doing everything that I could, and my mental health got the better of me and I had to step back. That's when I found the love of Christ in others. To watch others step up when I need it, to be that love, that light of Christ, to not judge. You know, one of them even told me when I asked him, I said, "Man, how are you not giving me a hard time right now with everything that I've done, everything I'm going through? How are you not giving me a hard time?" He said, "You know, it's difficult to look down on somebody and up at Christ at the same time." I don't think I've ever received that kind of understanding before. I've also realized that the Christ that I know now was not really the Christ I learned about before. You know, you can read the stories and try to have an understanding, but until you really get that kind of love thrown at you, right? Without a doubt, it's coming straight from the Father. And it's such a blessing to have this church and those kind of people in your lives. I see a church of people that bears burdens. Again, you do anything short of sin to get people who to know Jesus. See, this church doesn't follow the rules. It just seeks to rescue people. See, we don't just go to church. We are the church. The church doesn't exist for us. We are the church that exists for the world. So let me ask you. Who do you know? Who is God asking you to carry? Who needs the love of Jesus through your life? As we get to the end of that story in Mark, it also says that Jesus told the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven, but pick up your mat and go." And I kind of question that one a little bit. Pick up your mat. Why would he, if he can walk again, why does he need this mat? He's been laying on this mat for who knows how long. It probably stinks. There's probably all kinds of stuff on it. Like, why? Leave that thing there. And then I was going through this and trying to add my little ideas and stuff to it through Jack's ADHD notes. I realized that mat is his story. Right? He's going to pick that mat up and people are going to ask him about it. And then he gets to tell the story of the love of Christ from where he was to where he is now. I was like, man, that's awesome. That's really awesome to understand. It's a privilege standing here in front of you guys. It's been a privilege to stand here before and hold my mat up and talk about my struggles and my story and still receive from you guys that Christ-like love. Because when you love like Jesus, people experience God. And when people experience God, lives are changed. That's the kind of church that pleases God and rips the roof off. Amen? See, I told you it was going to be quick. So you guys thought I was joking. As the worship team comes back up. See, you guys, I told you, it's not even 11 o'clock yet. I told you we were going to be quick. You're going to be out of here. All right. I'm going to close this out with a prayer. And then I'll ask you guys to stand up and join us in one last song of worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us what it means to truly love others, to carry one another, and to bring each other closer to you. As we go, help give us a heart that love like Christ. Open our eyes to people around us who are hurting, struggling, or in need. Give us the courage to step in, to lift up, to listen, and to walk alongside them. Teach us to be like those faithful friends, willing to do whatever it takes to bring others to Jesus. Help us to carry the burdens with compassion, without judgment, and with unwavering faith in your power to heal and restore. And Father, remind us that we are not meant to do this alone. When we are weak, give us the humility to be carried by others. We are your church, bound together in love, grace, and purpose. Lead our steps, guide our hearts, and use us to reflect your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to fight. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
Now sing it out.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name.
One more time.
Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, we will worship Your holy name.
All right. Thank you, church. I love it. I hope everybody has a blessed week. Continue to pray for Jack's recovery. I don't want to do this too many more times. I'm sure you'll like it. Like you said, it's lunchtime now. We're good. Yeah. Have a blessed week, everybody. Thank you.